scripture reading today is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 25, verses 1 through 10. It says 1 through 9 up there, but this says 1 through 10. Looks like 1 through 9. Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name. For you have done wonderful things, planned long ago, faithful and sure. You have turned the city into rubble, the fortified town into a ruin, the fortress of foreigners into a city no more, never to be rebuilt. Therefore, strong people will glorify you. The towns of tyrant nations will fear you. You have been a refuge for the poor, refuge for the needy in distress, a hiding place from the storm, a shade from the heat. When the breath of tyrants is like a winter storm or like heat in the desert, you subdue the roar of foreigners, like heat shaded by a cloud. The tyrant's song falls silent. On this mountain, the Lord of heavenly forces will prepare for all peoples a rich feast, a feast of choice wines, of select foods rich in flavor, of choice wines well refined. He will swallow up on this mountain the veil that is veiling all peoples, the shroud enshrouding all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The Lord God will wipe tears from every face. He will remove his people's disgrace from off the whole earth, for the Lord has spoken. They will say on that day, look, this is our God for whom we have waited, and he has saved us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let's be glad and rejoice in his salvation.
One Saturday afternoon, a pastor decided he was going to go do some visiting. And he went to see one of his local church members. And he got to the house and he obviously knew someone was home. So he knocked on the door. And he knocked. And he knocked. And no one came to the door at all. So the preacher, being a preacher that he is, we always want to make sure somebody knows we were there. So he reaches in his pocket and he pulls out his business card and he flips it over on the back. He writes, Revelation 3:20. And he stuck it in the door. And Revelation 3:20 says this, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. The next day at church, surprisingly, the pastor's card turned up in the offering plate. And underneath Revelation 3:20, it said this, Genesis 3:10, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself. I read those words and I laugh, and I really think about doing that to our alpha cop, because when he drives by my house, he slows down and he peers in the windows all the time. So one of these days, he's going to get it all. The other night I was here at a wedding rehearsal, and the family was faith-based, and we were talking religion, and we were really having us a great conversation. And there was a thing that this man kept saying to me that really tore at my heart. And I think this is why God gave me this message today to bring to you. The man used these words, and I quoted him here, and it says, I fully believe that we are currently living in the end of times. And I looked at him. And he said it 12 more times. I fully believe we were living in the end of times. Now, all of us who've read anything about Scripture and have studied the Bible know that God tells us deeply in Scripture that none of us know when the end of times are. None of us know when Jesus is coming back. Now, wherever you stand on the book of Revelations and how you believe in it, a lot of us realize that the book of Revelations is a prophetic book. It's prophecy, just like the scripture from today is Isaiah. It's prophecy. And a lot of us read that scripture, and we want to envision Jesus riding back on this big white horse, because there's so much things that are happening in this world. Countries are fighting countries, right? Do we see that all the time? Do we see where ISIS has taken over most of Iraq and have reclaimed things, and now they're having battles in the streets for Baghdad? And ISIS is declaring that if they take this city, there's going to be thousands of people slaughtered? We see that. That's not a sign of end of times, no matter what you think. As we look at things and we see all the devastations with the floods and the typhoon, the Category 5 typhoon that just went through Okinawa, Japan the other day, that's not a sign of end of times. That's a storm. It is a storm. It's not the end of times. Sickness that's been going through Liberia and the Ebola virus and things, that is not a sign of end of times. That is a sign of sickness that needs to be controlled. Simple things. We live in these times that when we hear things, we automatically we go to the negative instead of the positives. People dying is not positive. I don't care how hard you look at it, folks dying is not a positive, because we all have to say goodbye to someone. But I don't say we're at the end of times. As a pastoral statement, I want to say I do not support or agree with any of my friends' statements at all that we are living in the end of times. I think we are living in difficult times. We are living in times where people need to quit walking away from God and running to God. We need to find that refuge in His Spirit. Isaiah points out that God has fulfilled promises. As we read the start of this text today, we can read where God is fulfilling promises. He's not hurting, He's fulfilling. Deuteronomy 31:6 says this, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you." No matter where we think we are living in the end of times or the world's imploding upon us, God is there before us. Really focus on that. God is there before us. Isaiah 41:10 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." So no matter what you've got going on in your life, if there's things that are weighing down on you, realize that God's going to carry you through this. Right now, someone asked me Friday during the wedding, "Are you going to be able to stand up and be able to perform this wedding?" I said, "With the help of God, I'll stand and I'll walk. And I'll continue to walk because God allows me to walk. If God wants to take my legs from me and put me in a wheelchair or whatever the case may be, it's because it's His will, not mine. Because I surrendered my life, just like many of you have, long ago to God's will. I allow God to dictate where He wants me to go, what He wants me to do. If He wants me to go to Liberia and stand there on the front lines and hold hands with people that are dying from Ebola, I'm not going to worry about the Ebola. I'm going to worry about, am I fulfilling what God called me to do? God will protect me." The church that I was at before coming here, we had the official cold and flu season was from when the time of the clocks changed till we changed the clocks again. And during that period, you were not allowed to shake hands with anyone. You was not allowed to converse with people in a closer than 3-foot environment. And I used to sit there and shake my head. And at every meeting, and most of you know, sitting in meetings with me, I can't keep my mouth shut. And I ask questions like, "So when people stand up, are we going to tell them that they can't grab a hold of the pew in front of them and pull themselves up? How many of you stand up, you reach down, you grab a hold of the pew, and you stand up?" Okay. No, you're all going to die from sickness and disease. I'm not making fun of viruses and things. We do have to be conscious of what's going on in the world. But we still have to realize that God's going to protect us in all avenues of our life. Something we really want to think about here is the promises of God. My friend that I spoke with the other night, he heard the promise of God that God was going to return, and he held on to that forever. He's holding on to that, and he's so excited about the end of times coming that that's what he wants. He wants the end of times to be here now so he can receive his reward. God's not telling you when the end of times are because he wants you to live in the present. He doesn't want you to live for the day that your life stops here on earth. He wants you to enjoy it. He wants you to experience that. That's why as we continue on throughout this passage this morning, God's talking about the party. Did you catch that? God's talking about the party. He's talking about how he's going to bless you. How he's going to bring you to this banquet where you're going to have the best meal that you could ever imagine. You're going to have the best wine, the best drink, the best celebration you could ever imagine. Now, too many people, when they read this text from today, and I'm here to tell you, folks, it doesn't start out very good. It says in verse 2, you have turned the city into rubble, the fortified town into a ruin, the fortress of foreigners into a city no more, never to be rebuilt. Therefore, strong people will glorify you. The towns of tyrant nations will fear you. And then it jumps ahead. And God says these words, and these are the coolest words that you ever can grab a hold of in your life. It says, on this mountain, the Lord of heavenly forces will prepare for all peoples a rich feast, a feast choice wines of select rich in flavor of choice wines, well refined. God's a party planner. And that's what I shared with my friend at this wedding the other night. God's a party planner. He brought them together with the understanding that if they are blessed by him, life's going to be in abundance. Nowhere, folks, does it say that life's going to be easy. It's going to be in abundance. We're going to have problems. We're going to have leg aches. We're going to have back aches. We're going to have neuropathy. We're going to have folks passing away. We're going to have sickness. We're going to have battles within our families. That kind of stuff's going to happen. But we got to realize that the party planner has a plan. We just have to go to experience it. We have to experience it all the way. When God said those words, he was telling us this. Life is so much more than we can imagine it to be. There are times that we must separate ourselves from the negativity of the world and find the solace in the peace that God has promised. We can't sit down and watch the news all the time and see nothing but negative. We can't pick up the paper all the time and read all the negative. Because when we do, we become negative. We become so focused on that. Have you ever been around a person that was a Debbie Downer? That no matter what it was, they were so negative about things. I've got this brand new car. It's the greatest car in the world. And while I was parked at Joann Fabrics, some idiot let their door fly into my car and they put a dent in it. Life's terrible. I know what you're laughing about. But God gave me a blessing. He gave me Ed Schultz in a body shop. He gave me a job that can pay for the insurance so Ed can get paid because, well, otherwise, that dent would stay. Right? Why focus on the negative? Focus on the positive. You got somebody in your life that can fix it. We can't allow things of negative nature to influence our positive appearance in life. We've got to allow God to be God. And realize negative is going to happen and it's going to go on past. If you're around folks that are negative all the time, separate yourselves. Walk away from them. If it's family members, find help for them. If it's friends, find new friends. Don't allow their negative nature bring you down. If the news is destructive to your personal appearance and the way you're going to handle the day, don't watch the news. Believe it or not, the world's going to continue without our opinions from Alpha, Illinois. If a politician calls you from Iowa on a lot of times, and we just hope Joni Ernst gets voted for because we'd really like to see your commercials disappear, hang up. Hang up. You don't need to be that involved in all of that. Go back to experiencing life and laughing and enjoying, celebrating the trials, the tribulations, to realize one day when you receive the refuge, you'll be at the greatest party you've ever been at in your life. The greatest party. You'll be reconnecting with old friends, family, long ago, people you'd like to talk to. You're going to be at the greatest party there ever was. You just got to get through this to get to that. Something to think about today. I'm going to be thinking about it watching the Bears get beat. Oh, they're not playing today. Oh, sorry, Ed. Think about it. Think about life. Celebrate it. Don't wait for the negative. Celebrate the positive. If you would, please join me in prayer. As you've called us to be at the foot of the cross, Lord, you called us into being in the refuge of your heavenly bonds. Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you for allowing us to be the people that can go out and serve and realize that if we stand on the front lines, Lord, that you've been there before us and you're going to protect us. You're going to watch out for us, Lord, because you are an awesome God. Lord, as we leave this room today, I ask you to bless this meal that we're going to go and fellowship with. I ask you to use it for the nourishment of our bodies, to lead, guide, and protect us as you always do. In your Son's holy and precious name, I pray. Amen.